Posso falar inglês? Inglês?
Agora entra.
Ambassador, it's a great privilege to have you here. We are willing to hear from you about the negotiations regarding the accession of Montenegro to the Union. We believe the Western Balkans belong by right, by history, to our community. And we are not always, we don't have very often the opportunity to be briefed on the progresses made on those negotiations. And we are very happy that you gave us this opportunity to maintain this dialogue and to provide us with information on the development of these ongoing negotiations. Please. I'd like to add that almost all the Portuguese parties represented in the Parliament are here with us today. The Christian Democrats, the Social Democrats, the Socialists, the left-wing bloc are here with us. And everybody will have the floor if they wish. Thank you very much, please.
First of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to meet the two committees. It's a pleasure to be here in the Portuguese Parliament and to discuss how my country is going towards two main goals. As you know, this year we celebrate 10 years of independence, or regained independence, as we say, because the independence that we lost in 1918 was regained in 2006 at the referendum. And ever since the country became independent, the two main priority goals have been integrating into NATO and integrating into the European Union. The first one on NATO has been almost attained. We have been working very diligently in the last 10 years to achieve the invitation of NATO to join the alliance. As you know, in December last year, the ministers invited Montenegro to join. The protocol of accession was signed in May, and the seven countries until now, from May until today, have ratified the protocol. We also came here talking to the government. We had meetings in the foreign ministry and also in the prime minister cabinet, but also with your colleague in the defense committee about the hopefully soon ratification of the protocol in the Portuguese parliament. As you know, this is a very important thing for us. It's at a time when obviously the Western Balkan region is going through lots of dynamic situation and having in mind lots of different influences that are going through the Balkans, the migration issues, the security issues, the Russian influence, the Middle Eastern kind of impact on the Western Balkans. For us, joining NATO this time is of crucial importance. The Secretary General of the Alliance expressed his expectation that the ratification would be finalized by winter time, so we can become a full-fledged member. And as the protocol will come here to the Foreign Affairs Committee, obviously it would be. We came also to seek the support of the MPs to ratify it. A process which has been occupying us in the last 10 years has been the European integration. As you know, this is the main priority goal. Of course, unlike NATO, it's much longer. It calls for more activity, more investment, because joining the EU today is not easy. There is the 200,000 pages of the acquis. That needs to be transposed, and it's not easy. A small country has to do it as the same way as the big one. Now we marked 4 years of negotiations. In these 4 years, a team of 1,300 people worked until now on opening and closing chapters. There are 35 of them that we have been focused on. We managed to open 24 of them. Two of them we provisionally closed, so now we are working on the rest of the nine chapters to open. And hopefully by the beginning of next year, we'll be able to finish this opening exercise. So the country from 2017 on will be starting to close down chapter by chapter and then enter this last phase of accession talks. The primary goal of the country is to have the next 3 years to finalize technical accession talks and negotiations in order for us to be able to start the preparation of the accession treaty and join the European Union with the next financial perspective in 2021. That is the goal, in 5 years to become a full-fledged EU member. Of course, time is, very, very different. You can have different views on the timing, and it's relative, but it may seem long, it may seem short, but for us, the overall timing means that the country will be joining when it is ready, because obviously we want to become a sustainable and functional member of the European Union. In this regard, obviously the primary concern is how to actually go forward in this time of uncertainty. The Brexit situation has created interesting maybe situation. We have the Balkan countries which are very much hoping to join the European Union at the time when one country is leaving for the first time the Union of the European States. And it will be interesting how the things and the situation will develop in the next years. Just two more points that may be of interest to you, economy and politics. On the economic level, the country has been, we could say, doing quite fine. We have a good growth from 3 to 4% in the last several years. When we look at the 10 years of independence, the average growth was 3.5%. each year. Of course, we had some growth of even 10-11% at some point, but then due to the crisis, it went down. When it is leveled, the country has enjoyed quite a steady growth and boosted by the good tourism season and also investment in the energy sector. These are the two main driving factors of the country. We hope that obviously by the time we join the European Union, the economy will grow even stronger, and then we will be able to close the gap in between our GDP, average GDP of the European Union and the Montenegrin one. The last point I also wanted to inform you is political. The country is nearing election period. We have the president called for the elections just yesterday for the 16th of October. So we'll be facing a kind of an electoral race after the summer recess, obviously after the break. We will be more focused on what the political battle will be. The specificity and very, interesting experiment that the country has been going through was started in January this year when the Prime Minister actually offered to the opposition to enter the government. This was actually a very interesting proposal for the opposition parties, who have been claiming that the elections have been always won by the ruling Socialist Party due to the fact that the party has been using state funding and, this invisible kind of buying of votes. So the Prime Minister has offered 5 ministerial posts in the government, especially those posts that are concern the electoral process, the Ministry of Interior, which is the leading ministry in this regard, and also ministries which deal with state funding, like Finance Ministry, Agriculture Ministry, Labor Ministry, and so on. The opposition accepted the proposal, but they asked for more. What they got in the final package in May was 16 other institutions, meaning like the Employment Office or the Public Works Agency. Or they also got several state enterprises with veto powers, and also they have financial controllers in every municipality. So basically it's a very broad agreement where the opposition has become a part of the ruling structures until elections. This deal from May, when it was concluded, will be valid until the proclamation of the electoral results in October, hopefully. And after that, we'll have a normal kind of preparation for the next government, depending on who will win the election. So you see, in the Balkans, when there is a lot of contesting of whether the elections have been done properly or no, the Prime Minister this time decided to offer this specific agreement to the opposition. The OSCE, which has been following the elections ever since democracy came in 1990, has been always saying that the elections were free and fair, but the opposition did not really accept the this result. So now we are at the start of a new phase. Hopefully this will result in a very smooth process with the elections in October and the next government formed by the end of the year, which will be responsible for the next 4 years of development of the country in relation especially to the European integration and joining the country, finalizing the accession talks. So Montenegro is the smallest in the Western Balkans, but we could say that it has been the fastest in both integrations, NATO and the EU. And I would say that we have been serving as an example to the other Western Balkan countries on how things can be done, how you can make compromises, how you can really provide for the solutions. You know that there are lots of frozen, let's say, situations in the Balkans, from Macedonia to Bosnia, Kosovo, Serbia dialogue, and so on. And we need, there is a need for more and more dialogue and a kind of compromise in order for the Western Balkans really to move forward. The only future and the only solution for the Balkans is to become a part of Europe and to become stabilized by the inclusion in wider structures. And that's the road that we have taken. Portugal has been very helpful on this road. It has been providing not only political assistance, you know that your country has been very supportive of both processes, but also we see an increase of expert level assistance coming to the country from month to month. There is an increase of cooperation among line ministries and institutions that are sharing experience. And that's very important because at one point when we joined both organizations, our experts and our employees will actually share the same kind of goal, the same policies. So I'll stop here and be glad to answer the questions.
We shared a similar experience since European integration was also decisive for our democratic stabilization in the past. I'm now giving the floor to a member of parliament, Angela Guerra, who is elected member of the Social Democratic Party. Angela.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to welcome you to Portuguese Parliament in behalf of my parliamentary group, Social Democrats, like Sergio said. But I would like to speak in Portuguese now, if you... yes, it's the principle that I respect here. I'm in Portugal, so I will speak in Portuguese. E então, basicamente, aquilo que gostava de vos transmitir em representação do meu grupo parlamentar é que nós vemos efetivamente este processo de alargamento da União Europeia como um processo muito importante para garantir a paz e a segurança no âmbito da Europa. Ao construirmos um espaço comum mais alargado, baseado em princípios democráticos que alicerçam a própria fundação da Europa, estamos, no fundo, a dar passos fundamentais para fortalecer este grande continente que todos pretendemos ver construído e muito bem implementado. O meu partido congratula-se com esta evolução positiva que o processo de adesão do Montenegro tem tido, e espera que ele se possa concretizar num futuro o mais próximo possível. Percebemos que, efetivamente, há matérias como a fiscalidade e as relações externas no âmbito dos dossiers que foram trabalhadas com mais dificuldade, designadamente pelo grande acervo comunitário que temos em algumas matérias, como bem disse, aliás, na sua intervenção. E reconhecemos naturalmente este contacto com a Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros e o peso que a diplomacia parlamentar tem neste tipo de processos, designadamente, como já referiu, na ratificação do protocolo na Assembleia da República. E gostava, por fim, de lhe deixar a pergunta, que é quais é que são as áreas que estão a ter mais dificuldades em implementar? E, uma vez mais, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you very much, Angela. I will now be giving the passing the floor to Francisca Batista, who is a member of Parliament elected by the Socialist Party. Francisca.
Obrigado, Sr. Presidente, Sr. Embaixador, dar-lhe as boas-vindas também em nome do Grupo Parlamentar do Partido Socialista, que aqui represento, e, para além do mais, dizer-lhe que, para além de ser grata à vossa presença neste Parlamento, no âmbito da própria diplomacia parlamentar, vos desejamos os maiores sucessos, naturalmente, neste processo de integração e neste processo de ratificação, porque entendemos que, naturalmente, é mais um passo para a integração, é mais um passo para uma Europa mais solidária e uma Europa em que mais Estados-membros se revêem nos princípios fundacionais, quer da NATO, quer da própria Europa. Bem-haja e bem-vindos. Para além desta mensagem de solidariedade e de esperança e de gratidão também pela vossa presença, não deixamos de nos preocupar com aquilo que têm sido episódios recentes no âmbito da Europa e que podem, eventualmente, também, gostaríamos de saber qual é o vosso ponto de vista, apesar do Sr. Embaixador ainda há pouco já ter referido a saída do Reino Unido, o Brexit e o seu resultado relativamente às questões europeias, gostaríamos de saber se, apesar de ter que acontecer a ratificação pelos 28 Estados-membros e ser expectável que isto ainda decorra durante um período de 18 meses, aproximadamente, quereríamos tentar perceber se acham ou não que a saída do Reino Unido pode ou não atrasar este processo. Estou a falar excessivamente rápido, peço desculpa. Gostaríamos também, e porque transmitiu na sua intervenção de há pouco, transmitiu precisamente que o Primeiro-Ministro anunciou que haverá eleições brevemente, fê-lo no dia de ontem, e segundo uma sondagem a que tivemos acesso no dia 18, há efetivamente no país quem se divida relativamente a este processo de integração. Queríamos saber também se é efetivamente ou não serena esta solução no país em referência. Obrigada.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Ambassador, if you allow me, before passing the floor to you, I would like to express that the Portuguese will go on being a firm supporter of Montenegro accession and a supporter of the accession of all Western Balkan countries in general. We also have hopes that you will realize difficulties the European Union is going through and understand the complexities which we are all facing today. You are not we were luckier than you are. We joined the Union in a better period. A period of generosity, solidarity, idealism, and you are joining the Union in a period of crisis, doubts about the future, and uncertainty. We hope that you will benefit from the generosity that we benefit ourselves in 86, And we hope that you realize that you have to, when you join the Union, you have to be part of the solution. And wait and help creating conditions for restoring confidence and a new balance of power inside the Union that creates conditions so that we can together favor a new solution for the economic imbalances that are undermining the social and economic cohesion, which is the original common horizon of shared prosperity. All that needs a very active political diplomacy within the Union. Lots of things are at stake, and we believe that Montenegro joining the Union will be playing his part, favoring more decent, more equal, and more a union with more solidarity. You will be in a privileged position to witness the imbalances created by the monetary union. That's a very complicated issue. You will have yourselves, you'll have to take difficult decisions regarding your engagement on the European monetary policy. And we have this hope that Montenegro joining the Union will be part of the solution, making common front with those firm believers in the historical meaning of our political integration, and the belief that these civilizational goals are only realistic and attainable if we don't lose this common vision of solidarity, political integration, and working together in order to create an order based on decency and shared prosperity. All these things were very obvious 30 years ago, but everything now is questioned, and as you know, the economic performance of the Union is very unequal, and we are not converging. We are, in fact, in a period of divergence, economic divergence. So we have these hopes that the last historical enlargement of the Union will be a decisive one to put things back on the right tracks, and to wish you all the best. Please.
Thank you so much for all the interventions and the questions and your views. That this we cherish very much the views of the MPs from member states, because obviously joining the EU is not just about papers, documents, it's also politics, and that's why it's always interesting and important to listen to the member states and the politicians. There is, you know, there has been a joke going on around emails for now, I think, 10 years around the Western Balkans, and which goes saying that in 2023 Serbia joins, in 2025 Bosnia, and so on, and then what happens is Germany leaves in 2028, and then everybody leaves, and the Balkans stays alone in the EU. That is quite an old joke, because we were at that time 10, 15 years ago, we were joking that we would never become members, but once we become, everybody would like to leave. And somehow it is very interesting how the situation is now creating. And maybe to start with your question on how Brexit is influencing the future agenda of the enlargement. Obviously, the good thing was that the several days after the after Brexit happened, after referendum happened, the EU produced a global strategy on of the Union, which confirms the enlargement as the very important policy and the continuation of it. Some days after that, we had the Paris summit of the French and the German president and the chancellor with the Western Balkan prime ministers, which reconfirmed the, we could say, the importance of enlargement for also the EU. Obviously, when you look at the Western Balkans, and aside from Turkey, it's a very small region now. When it comes to the population and the economy, it's not such a big, I would say, bite for the European Union. But leaving the Balkans outside of Europe can produce much more problems than finding the solution for it, which was clearly shown during the 90s what happened, and the prolongation of the instability. On the other hand, you see how the migration route, that was the Western Balkan route, has created a lot of problems because exactly there was no real solution on how to deal with the buffer zone in between the migrants entering Greece and then going through the Balkans to re-enter the European Union. We feel that we hope that the enlargement will stay at the agenda. The Slovak presidency has been really supportive. You know, the Slovaks understand. I believe that the Maltese, the Estonians and Bulgarians will also have it high because we have a round of presidencies which are new member states. They understand the importance of the process. But we also are aware of the elections next year in France and Germany, which will be having an impact on the, you know, you have to be very practical in understanding how things go. And in this regard, obviously, next year we'll see a slowdown of enlargement policy in some regards, at least until October, after the German elections are finished. The idea is obviously that when President Juncker said it 2 years ago that there will be no enlargement during his mandate, he was technically right. So even if we finalize the accession process, we won't be able to join because there is a need of ratification procedures and the drafting of the treaty, which takes 2 years. But it's very important to continue with the process, although it's not imminent, because withdrawing the possibility and maybe the hope of accession to the Balkan countries would create a very dangerous situation. We have seen this as an emergence of new voices in the region, more Eurosceptic. We, for the first time, have the emergence of Eurosceptic parties in the Balkans. The Prime Minister just gave an interview to Euro Observer saying that when you take into account all the situation in the Balkans, 30% of the people in the Balkans are Eurosceptic, are actually more prone to collaborate with Russia. When you ask the people in Serbia, for example, whom they would like to be in the Union more, 70% say with Russia. So you see, Serbia is the biggest in the region, and there is a big difference and the not such a kind of understanding among everybody in the region of what the goals should be. So in our case, there is a 100% consensus in the parliament on the European integration, but in the last several months we have seen some of the opposition parties, a small block of 10% in the parliament, which is talking more and more about a new idea of not joining the EU, calling the European Union corrupt and congratulating Britain. We'll see after election whether this will be transferred in a full policy of these parties, but this is very indicative. On NATO, we have never had full support. We have always had two-thirds of support in the parliament for the joining the alliance. This 30% which have been not supportive of the alliance, of Montenegro joining the alliance, have been mostly Serbian ethnic parties, which followed Belgrade's approach of neutrality towards alliance. So we'll see. After we now finalize the process, we'll probably maybe see the changes. But in any case, both processes will continue. Especially because the people and when we ask the people, and especially now in this kind of situation with Britain, 75% of the people say they would vote for the European Union. So it's a very high support, and we'll see how this will develop in the next months. Obviously, to your question on what the problematic or the hard areas are, for us the most problematic is environment. This is the chapter which costs more. It's very expensive. It calls for lots of changes. You know, we have lost the 90s as a kind of period to invest in environment. And the EU has really high standards. You had more time to adjust, and you, since you joined in the 80s, you had the last 30 years to gradually approach the EU standards. We don't have so much time, so the estimates of the costs are huge, and we need to carefully look at the transitional periods that we are going to demand. Also for us, quite demanding is rule of law. This is the new area, chapters 23, 24, judiciary reform. We fully changed the rule of law area. We just to tell you that the parliament and the system adopted 60 new laws in the last 2.5 years. It's a huge package just in the rule of law area. We fully, for example, changed the way how we elect judges, prosecutors, resized the number of court systems and so on. And now we are working on totally new institutions, the anti-corruption agency, special prosecutor office, and so on, in order to deal with the specific issues. Migration is, for example, one. New asylum policies, border security, and so on. So I would say that, to sum up, that the we cherish very much the process, because the process is bringing, of course, it's very much different than when you negotiated, but the process is creating an opportunity for the country to reform. It's pushing all the political actors, all the leaders to really be much more serious and devoted to the work than it was. It would be without the reform. You know, when I talk to the new member states, they say they missed the times of the enlargement when they were negotiating, because most of the things could be done during that period. Once you join, countries tend to relax a bit. So we'll see how it will be in our case. But as you said, while we joined, a lot of things would be changed. We guess that at the time that we become a member, we will be needing to join or to work to join the new banking union, the new financial provisions, and lots of acquis will be different in 5 years' time than now. And who knows how the EU is going to go to which direction after now the solution would be found for the how the Brexit will be implemented. So in this regard, obviously, we as candidates tend to ask the Commission to be more and more involved in the pre-accession period. The best example is maybe rule of law, but also the economic reform programs. We already, as candidates, have to submit our kind of economic programs in order to get the, and you know how it works with Portugal, to get the kind of feedback from the Commission on what fiscal and financial policies the countries need to take. This is crucial in order for us to understand better the functioning of the European semester. You see what happened to Croatia when it joined, it entered recession, and the recession lasted for 6 years. So we are trying to gradually approach these kind of new mechanisms, not to get shocked once we become a member.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. It was a great pleasure to have you here with us.